Sometimes starting something is the hardest part of it, isn't it? It can be really hard to get going. Thinking about doing the dishes is always worse than just doing them. Panicking over an exam and your revision is always worse than just getting it done. Right, Abby? Why do we wait for people, other people in the house, to empty the bin? And how much toothpaste do you really think is left in that tube? There's a laziness to certain tasks, I think. I've looked at the garden often enough, saw that the grass needs to be cut tomorrow, and then quietly prayed for rain so that I wouldn't have to. And of course, just doing it, it's never as bad as I think it will be. A little while ago, I showed you this picture. Remember this? I did the utility room coat rack, and there it is, unfinished, a bit rough and a bit ready. Some of those little hooks actually broke, had to be replaced. Well, good news. I finished it. Do you know what? It wasn't so bad getting it done. I just had to do it. Starting something can be the hardest part of something. And we have to train ourselves for it, just like starting the new book. Just do it. For goodness sake, change the bins. Get a new toothpaste. Get back to reading your Bible. Just go to the prayer meeting. I think on a harvest Sunday, we need a wee jolt in the Christian action. It's the ant and a few other animals that might be our teachers this morning, just to get us going, just to whisper in our ears, just do it, just get on with it, because we need a warning about laziness. We need this. Proverbs sends us to the ant as the cure. We're told of an animal that's very small, but is very wise. Go to the ant, you sluggard, you idle person, you lazy so-and-so. Consider its ways and be wise. Why would we do that? Well, the ant's productive. It starts things. It gets on with them. It finishes them. No one has to tell it to do any of that. And its work is related to the future. It's a picture of being prepared and being prepared for harvest. Not so the lazy and the foolish, what the Bible calls the sluggard, the idle and the inactive. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, some folding of the hands of rest. Poverty will come on you. It's a warning. It's a warning about laziness. And I think that speaks very clearly. This is the nature of Hebrew poetry. Now, don't fall asleep. Come back to me. Hebrew poetry is like one of those sweets that you have to suck for a long time. And as you do that, the flavors change, don't they? There's different layers, different levels. And the longer you spend with it, the more interesting and enjoyable it gets. This is like that. We're to sit here, surrounded by food, surrounded by each other, thinking about the harvest. And we're to consider the ant as the antidote to laziness. In case we would miss that lesson, Proverbs comes back to this person quite often. Again, later in chapter 20, we read that the sluggard does not plow in season. So at harvest time, they look but find nothing. I think that's familiar to us. It's the stuff of Aesop's fables. He's got a famous one about the ant and the grasshopper. One's prepared and one's not. One's ready for winter and the other comes begging. We've heard that story, haven't we? The lesson there is be prepared. Go and be prepared. But our Bibles this morning add to that. They say, yeah, be prepared, but also be productive. Be productive. All right, listen, I'm with you. You've come to church this morning. That's very good of you. You're sitting here and you're thinking, why are we talking like this? What has the ant and the sluggard have to do with me? Well, harvest is mentioned here, so maybe Craig has just Googled his Bible for the word harvest, and this came up, so I guess we're talking about lazy people and ants. That's not the case, folks. It's a parable. Harvest is a parable. It's not about wheat and barley. It's not about apples and oranges. It's about people. People are at the heart of the harvest. And in these pictures, nature is ahead of us when it comes to God and the way things should be. The ant gets on with it instinctively, and we can be prone to too much rest. We struggle to start and finish things. And that's also true of our Great Commission in the church. That's about people as well. Go and tell the people. And we struggle to start. We find it hard to keep going. And we can't even imagine the finish. Despite the fact that God speaks of the end of things in the language of the harvest, here is just one of a dozen moments when we hear this language. You know this. We're here to remind ourselves of it this morning. Here's Jesus. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out his workers into his harvest field. It's a parable. It's a harvest of people. The harvest field is the world. That is the work we should get on with. That's what we're prone to laziness with. From there, it's a constant thing. That's the language of the Lord Jesus, but we struggle, don't we, to start and keep going. And our second little reading told us the same thing, exactly the same thing. That's a warning about laziness, yes, but it's specific. It's specifically about laziness in God's harvest of people. So we need a warning this morning. What we're also seeing is a warning about where wisdom and our energy comes from. We need something to get us off the sofa, out the door, and getting on with what God has called us to do. In Proverbs, that prod to action, that motivator is fear. Fear is the beginning of wisdom. You've heard that one, haven't you? It's the headline of the book of Proverbs. Here it is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom or knowledge. We've all heard that. What does that mean? It's not fear as terror. It's about a right relationship. This is another one of those sucky sweets. You linger with it. The longer you stay with it and hold on to it, the more you taste and the more you see. If you read that slowly, it gives you its own answer. We're thinking, what does that mean? Well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's a beginning. And it's not about fear, it's about knowledge. Not knowing stuff, we can all know stuff. It's about knowing God. A relationship, a right relationship. It's a lot like friendships and marriages. We begin our marriages, don't we, fresh out of singleness. It's a new beginning. And our knowledge of each other, our husbands and our wives and our friends, it deepens, doesn't it? We find a rhythm, and we're well aware when the rhythm gets broken. We're not afraid of our husbands and wives, right? But we know them. We know them. And the ant, among others, can remind us that we need to know God if we're to have that relationship with him. That's what that means. The proper, right way of things with God has a beginning. And it's not really about fear, it's about knowing him. The last thing we read teaches us that the small animals who are easily scared and frightened, who have a natural instinct of the right relationship of things, they know you're bigger than them. They can remind us of this basic truth. They're small, but they're wise. They have food, shelter, they make progress. They can even make their way into palaces. Here's that line there. It's a lot on there, but those are the animals we talked about. So when I say to you that the animals fear God, I'm saying they have a natural sense of the right way of things. Do we put ourselves in with creation to find out that right way of things? Are we conscious of the fact that our food and our shelter and our progress and our place at the king's table in the king's palace is given? Do we know that in the same way that we know each other in friendships and marriage? Is dependence a daily instinct or something you have to come to church once a year to be reminded of at the harvest? Because one, folks, is the language of faith, and the other is a dead end of superstition. The relationship of faith is formed here, week in, week out. The sluggard's in bed. He's still in bed. And when the harvest comes, the harvest, God's harvest, he will have nothing. He will look, but there'll be nothing. The animals know this. They know and fear God, do we? You and I should learn the wisdom of the ant, because faith is a relationship with the Father who knows us and loves us and whose care is both fatherly and detailed. The ant is fed. You're wondering what a hyrax is. It's something that's called a rock rabbit or a little desert rabbit. There you go. The locust, we know about those. The lizard, they're homed. They find themselves living in luxury because God cares for them. And if he cares for them, if God cares all the way down to the ant, then he cares for you. Do you know what I'm going to do this morning? I'm going to let Jesus finish the sermon. I think that's okay. He says, listen, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. And yet I tell you, not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass, which is here today, tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Let me pray for us. Father, we look forward to time off, weekends, holidays, time to relax and enjoy what life offers. These are good things. Father, we can see them as ends and not as means. You've spoken to us today of your care and provision. We've heard your son tell us that your care of us is deeper than anything else. May we believe you. Maybe rededicate ourselves to you this morning. May we follow Jesus as he presses on and leads the way we should go. Father, we thank you for this harvest. We pray for the harvest to come. And we ask for the workers. In Jesus' name, amen.